Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we're holding right at the bottom of Chof Zayin Amud Beis, at that Halakha Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzav. So now we have an actual event where Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzav, who was a Kohen, and he had a terrible situation, which during the invasion of Yerushalayim, this is Mamish Nogea this time of the year. So he said afterwards, Hamaon Hazeh, I swear on the Beis HaMikdash itself that the entire time that the Romans were loose in town, Lo Zaza Yada Mitoch Yadi, I held my wife's hand, nobody touched her and got near to her. Misha Ashinich Mesu of Dekochavim Yerushalayim, I'm telling you that I was with her the whole time. Baruch Hashem, we got away scot-free. Amrulo, sorry. Ein adam me'id al atzmo. I mean, you know, we have the chashash, we have the typical gezer of shvuya that we have to assume that she's asura just because you're a big tzaddik. And I said, what can we do? We need edus, and a person cannot be an aid for himself. Now, the Braita said that even though we could not except his edus, remarkably, listen to this, we allowed her to live in the same chotzer. Now, normally, if there is a divorce and the woman would be asura because she was married to a kohen, and if they end up sleeping together after a divorce, it's an iser d'oraisa for a kohen to sleep with the divorcee. We wouldn't allow her to sleep in the, or to live in the same chotzer. But here, because it was the chashash that maybe she had been raped, and it was only chashash b'yalma, he built her a little house in the garage. He converted it, yichid obayit b'chatzera. And they were very careful for the rest of their lives never to be alone, to the extent that when she went out to the store, she would only go out while her children were still behind. In other words, she would never allow the kids to go out to the park and she follows the kids, because that would have left her alone with him and she never would be alone with him. So she would always go first, then the kids would go out. When she would come back in from a tiul, it would be the same thing. First, she would always have her children going first, and then she would come in. And that way, there was never a problem of yichud. Could we do this also with a grusha? I mean, the question is, maybe this is one of the ideas of bishvuya hikilo. Remember that we said that the point of bishvuya is that it's shasha ba'alma, as we've said many times. So over there, they were makel to allow that they would sleep together in the same chutz, in different homes. As long as it wasn't b'yichud. So could we do that even for a grusha, or is it only for a shvuya? Mashen kein hacha, where there was a real grusha, it wouldn't be mutter for her to live anywhere in the same chatzar. So Dimaloshna, Toshma, says the Gemara, for sure, it says in the Braita, HaMegareshet Ishto Lo Tinaseh B'Shchunato. She can't get married again and live in the same neighborhood. Now, here we're talking about Yisrael, because if it were a Kohen, then we don't need for her to get married again for there to be an Isser. If it would be a Yisrael, and she was not married again, so what do we care? I mean, if they end up sleeping together, what's a big deal? You know, I mean, it's not up to us to worry about their morality and so on. But if over here, it's a married woman, now we're very nervous because these people know each other. They've been intimate for 50 years, you know, now she's married to somebody else. I mean, it's going to be very easy for him to give her a little wink and say, honey, baby, you know, and that we saw that idea before, that once a woman is makir b'krit sotav and so on, that he's able to entice her away from her husband. So therefore, we don't allow them to be together anywhere in the same shechuna. So she can't be even within the same shchuna. And in the event that he's a Kohen, so then lo tadur imo b'mavui. Over here, she didn't get remarried. She's just a Kohen. So if they were together, even in a mavui, that over there, if we're talking about by Yisrael, so that's a very chomer iser. So he's allowed to live in the same overall, if he's married, a mov, this is a big machlokas rishonim, but I'm going to learn it the way the Rambam learns. So I'm sorry, the way that Rashi learns over here, right? So we're talking about a mavui, if we're talking about a mavui sasum, and the issue is that a shchuna is like just three homes. That's what the Gemara says elsewhere. Masha ein kein, a mavui can have a heck of a lot more, because remember, a mavui has a lot of separate chatzeres that are opening up into the mavui. So it means we're being more machmir. Over there, even if she isn't married. Why is that? Because people are going to be less makbid on the Isurei Kuhuna than they are on an Isur of sleeping with a married woman. So we have a bigger chashash. And the Imaya Kvar Katan, if it's a small village, there was a mice like that. And the Chachamim said, even though there are more houses there, but that has the same din as a shchuna, because nobody comes in there and nobody will know what's going on. So you see from here that a woman that had a get from a kohen cannot even be in the same mov. So for sure she can't be in the same concert. There's your answer. Now, the question is, who's got to leave in the event of a divorce? Does she have to move to somewhere else, or does he have to move to somewhere else? Tashma, Titania, he nitchet mipanav, the ein hu nitchet mipanea, unless imaitachatzer shalah hu nitchet mipanea. So now, if they're renting, so then she has to move. Obviously, if it's hers, so then he has to move. Well, what about if it's both of theirs? What if they both have a house in the same chatzer? Who's got to move? Toshma, the Braita said, it started off, he nitchet mipanav. So tell me, what do you think we're talking about in that case, that she has to move out? Are we talking about where he was the one who owned the house? So obviously she has to move out. So if it's talking about her chotzer, it said the opposite, that if it's hers, then he has to move out. So what is this case talking about? Must be that this additional case that we said, that he nitchet mipanav, is talking exactly like this, where they both are the same and they both own houses, right? So you see that she has to move out. No, not necessarily. Well, maybe we're talking over here where this rental, they're both rental homes, but that doesn't explain what the din would be if they both own a home. There may be completely different issues and psychologies that are involved in ownership as opposed to just moving. Okay, so bottom line, my havi ala toshma. An amazing pasuk, which people don't realize, and it's unbelievably true, and surprisingly, everyone thinks the opposite in terms of the psychological reality. It says in Yeshayahu, Hine Hashem mitaltelcha taltela gaver. God is going to be sending you out to a golas, which you're going to experience the suffering of a man who is being moved around. So you see from here, Omar Rav, why does it say tata like gaver? Because you see from here that tule de gavra koshin mi de itata. It's much more difficult for a man to move than it is for a woman to move. A remarkable and counterintuitive reality. Because usually you say the woman is the home and she's very focused on her home, and therefore moving is very difficult for her. But it doesn't take into consideration the overall psychological insecurity of a man who cannot make a home for himself, basically, and who is always feeling completely chaotic. And the moment he doesn't have the small support system that is just enough of a house of cards to make him feel that life is survivable, you take him out, and all of a sudden, his whole world collapses. And that is Tetule Gavra, which is such a profound insight and so tremendously true. Tana Rabbana. Another amazing halacha. Look at this. We're worried about the fact that they can't live in the same area. What about if, while they had a happy marriage, so this Cohen went around and he borrowed things from her that came from her father's property. It was nichsei malum. And now she wants to sue him to get all of this stuff back, which she has a right to. She has to get a lawyer or a power of attorney. She can't do it herself. So we don't want them sitting together in court and fighting face to face. Well, Rav Sheshes, I could tell you that if she does walk into a courtroom with him together, I refuse to open up the case. I say, go get lawyers. I'm not interested in this. Rav Papa says, that's what you do? I put them into nidui. Says Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, I beat them up. Ha! You guys are gentle. This is all hanky-panky, you know. Yeah, all of a sudden we're fighting in court. But you know what fights are really all about. I mean, they're just love, hate, you know, life, death. I mean, it's all the same to these guys. Lovers that are arguing, right. Haku Oros Marusato, doesn't come in. It was a certain case where, this was the case of a Kohen, but there had been only Erisim. They had not actually gone to the chuppah, so they come to Rava, and there was no lawyers. And Yossi Rav Ada Bar Masna came. So Rav Ada Bar Masna was
Rabbi, there. I'm sorry, I think we skipped a piece about Abu Rabati.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Omer of Nachman, Tanaba Aival Rabati. So it says in Masechet Smachot, Bamed Dvarim Amurim. When do we say that you need to have a lawyer? Only shenitgar shamin hanesuim, but if she was nitgar shamin erusin, since they don't really have a sense of closeness, they were never intimate. So then it's okay not to have a lawyer. Nifrata hideatzma she'en libo gaspa, because he doesn't feel that he's got ways into her and that they are already used to sleeping together. So well, there was a case of an arus and an arusa, again of a kohen, that come to Rava. And Rav Ada Bar Masna was there. And Rava told Rav Ada Bar Masna, okay, listen, I don't want these people here together in the courtroom. You can go into a back room, get the case from her, get a power of attorney from her. You'll be her lawyer. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Masna, but Rava, you don't need a lawyer in this case because it was only an arus. So Amar of Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman say that it says in Avil Rabati, which I mean, that's like a psak if Rav Nachman says it, right? Amar like, yeah, it's all very nice, but I'm a little bit more sensitive than you. And I could see all the lovey-dovey little garbage going on in the background that you don't even notice. So because of that, obviously, it's a function of the case. Kachazina, and I can see that, yes, they were never married, but it made no difference. So because of that, I see that they're very used to each other. Actually, some say it was like this, that Rava did not make a shliach between them. So Rav Ada Bar Masna said to Rava, why, Rebbe, you ought to appoint someone to be a lawyer. So Rava said to him, but Rav Nachman said that we learned in the Eva Rabati that you don't need a lawyer in this case. So Rav Ada said to them, yeah, that's true. But I saw, maybe you're like, don't really have that kind of sensitivity being up there on the top of the court. But I noticed that these guys are a little bit too lovey-dovey. And because of that, I suggest that this is a good case to have a lawyer. And the best lawyer under these circumstances, as we know, is our very own Kapitan.
Zuk de Heleke Mishnah.
Now, we have been talking about all kinds of strange situations where we're going to accept an aid echad, then we're going to accept an aid that normally is possible, we're going to accept even a shivcha, an eved, and so on and so forth. There's another interesting situation where there are certain cases where we will accept an aid that is normally not acceptable, not because anything is wrong with him, but because the testimony is about an event that took place while he was a child. So normally we say that a child is insufficiently aware to be able to clearly define something, and yet there are times in which we will accept even an observation made during childhood. So elu ne'emanim la'id begodlan, as long as they're currently kosher edim and they're gedolim, and they're believed to say what they saw while they were ketanim. So here they are. Ne'eman adam lomar, a person can say, this I know is my father's handwriting, even though his father had died while he was still a child. Or this is the Ketav Yad of my Rebbe, even though his Rebbe was no longer alive and he didn't see it after he grew up. V'zeh Ketav Yado shel Achir. This is my brother's handwriting. Another thing that he can say, Zochur hayiti biplonit. I remember Miss So-and-so, when she got married, I was a little boy, but I remember that she went out with a hinuma or Rosha Parua, all of which, of course, proves that she is a betula, and that therefore she gets a mataim ketuvah. And another thing, I remember that Shahaya ish ploni yotzemi beta sefer litbo leachol betruma, v'shaya chalek imono al hagor. And I remember so-and-so, they used to take him out of school to throw him into the mikveh. This is like the story that we had about Yochanan Ochel Chalos and Yonatan. And he would come with us, and they would give him a truma at the Beit HaGoret. Or he could say, Hamakom hazeh Beit HaPras. I remember that this field was off limits only from this point on, so that the rest of it was okay. Or he could say, Ad kan hayinu ba'im b'Shabbat. We would walk up to here, and this was the Tchum, and up till here was not usher to walk. But he would not be believed to say things that would have financial implications. So he wouldn't be able to say, Ein Adam Ne'eman Lomar, oh, well, so-and-so used to have a way to pass through over here that he owned. So he had a derech in this place, or to say he owned this area for purposes of ma'amad, mispeid, where they used to have a special place where they gave hespedim, where they sat down and they did the seudas and things like that. They would do it seven times for a mace. They had special places that you could, people had their own batei kfarot and for the family, and they had places where they would do that. And he's not Neman because that is basically financial. Now, of course, the obvious question is, but so is the idea that she's a betula. That's financial. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? So Gemara is going to answer that question by saying that the truth is that we normally rove nashim are betulot nisuin. So that therefore what he's doing is a gilui milta be'alma, and it's not really a dut. But when it comes to neidut, it's going to have a direct financial implication. We cannot accept something that was seen in childhood. Omer v'huna bereder of Yeshua. So we said that we have to, let's say, we have things that normally need two edim, right? And it's kiyum shtar needs two edim. It's not that we're saying we will accept his testimony alone, that's for sure, but we're accepting him together with another aid. So even though the Mishnah is allowing a childhood memory for a current adult, it does not mean that both Aiden can be made what they saw in childhood. One of them at least has to actually know it from when he was an adult. And then we'll accept the second aid in those cases where we understand that this is something that was a chumra, the rabbanon, as we'll see, that then we accept the second aid. And it doesn't mean that we can have both of them. And by the way, I mean, I'm sure it's bothering you. Why do we need three different cases? This is my father's handwriting. This is my Rebbe's handwriting. This is my brother's handwriting. I mean, just say he's allowed to say that he recognizes the handwriting. No, because each one of these actually is based on a different psychology, which allows us to trust the katan, mitzricha. Because if the Mishnah would have told us that he's Neman to say this is daddy's handwriting, that's because a child is Shchiach Gabay. He's with his father. He admires his father. He imitates his father. And he's gotten used to just looking at the way that his father writes and that he imitates and so on. So that really got into his head. And remember, normally we say that a child doesn't have that type of concentration to be able to recognize a signature. If it's his father's, I would say, okay, that's unique. But, I mean, we're not going to say that his teacher's handwriting, I mean, like, how much is he with his teacher? It's not the same like with his father. On the other hand, if it would have said only the case of the rabbo, I would have said there is a whole different way that a child relates to a rabbo. First of all, he has a sense of yira. He's scared. And because of that, there's two explanations over here that he still has this sense of not being able to bring himself to say something that would in any way not be true about the Rav, and that he can't do that psychologically, which doesn't address, so, but how does he know? And the other approach is that since he has that sense of awe about a teacher, he is more likely to be medactic in the way that the teacher does it than stam the doing the imitation of a father. That may be without the same dictum, but the Gabi is father, it's not with the same diuk. So as a child, he doesn't really know that what the difference is between his father's signature and another. On the other hand,
could Rebbe say again the first pshat in the Rebbe? The first pshat was
that since he has a sense of Yira, so because of that, he's going to be very careful not to say something that isn't absolutely true. That does not fit with the other issues over here, and therefore it's not what the approach that not particularly I like, but the simple issue is the issue that's brought in various places, the sheet that brings it as, and for most of the Rishonim is David Pasha, that it's because of that that he tries to imitate it properly, because he thinks this is the way it's supposed to be, since it's his Rebbe, so that he understands is important to know precisely. Others learned that the pshat is that at the time, the yira of his Rebbe was such that he wanted to make sure that he could clearly identify something from his Rebbe. Okay, so whatever it is. But in any event, even if I would have known both of these, I wouldn't have known about a brother. I would have said, look, there may be various issues. So like when it comes to the father over there, the frequency of the fact that he's always with him, or with the Rav, it's because of that sense that he has of Yira, but a brother, maybe not. Achiv not, Kamash Malon. That, the whole idea over here is basically built on the concept of Kiyum Shtarot is only Midrabanan. And we have a cloud that the Rabbanan can be miming whoever they want on a Dirabanan. Now, Tosfos finally over here deals with the issue of what is that supposed to mean, Kiyum Shtarot is Dirabanan. I mean, that's crazy. You're going to say, Reish Lakish says, we bring a shtar, right? So it's kenechker, I do some of the best. So what are you telling me? That every Tom, Dick, and Harry that wants to put out a forged document, forge his signatures, nobody's got to identify those signatures. He presents it to Besdin and will use that shtar to take money away from somebody. Like if I want to write, you know, Barnea Levi HaKohen owes me $1 million, and then I can go and collect from him, and I have witnesses and so on. That's insane. How would such thing be possible? Asks Tosfos. So the Re says that maybe the point is only where the Lova admits that it's true and that the contract is a valid contract. So then the only question is, the loan took place. Well, we know, but we need to make this a contract to be able to be deicha the taina of the lova that he paid it, or that maybe he can't collect from the chasim mishubanim. But it's not that stam we're going to allow you to make up whatever you want and not demand that there be a kiyum shtaros. Okay, he has kashas on himself, but anyway, it's good to know that it's not just a black and white issue. So that's very good. Okay, so anyway, getting back to our sugya. Gosh. Zachor hayiti biplonit shiatsa binuma v'rosha porua. Now, this is a problem, because over here he's claiming that he remembers as a child the simonim that the Mishnah said before allow her to be tova'at a ketuvah of matai. How can he do that? This is going to be motzi moment on the basis of a child. Answers the Gemara, because kiva derov dashim betulot nisod. So this is considered to be a giloi milt. It's not real testimony. It's just like he's confirming what we already have assumed. And the other case doesn't even make sense. He says, I remember that they used to take this kid out from school and they put him in the mikveh and then he would eat truma and we were mechalik truma at the goren. How does that prove anything? Maybe it just proves that this other kid is an Eved. I mean, an Eved also gets to eat truma, and he also has to be tahar, so I don't understand. What does it prove? Unless, Dilma Eved Kohenu, unless it proves Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's case. Because, as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Yom Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Asur la'adam shilamed et avdo Torah, since this kid was in school, was being taught Torah, it can't be that he was an Evet, because you're not supposed to be teaching him Torah as an Evet until he completes his entire Geirus. What? How can Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say that? There's a brayta that says beferish that lo vahemenu rabo, if the Odin borrowed money from the Evet, or maybe the Odin made the Evet an apotropos. Now he became now the administrator of all of his stuff, right? Or he gives him a power of attorney to do business for him, whatever. Or if this Evet puts on tefillin in front of the Rav, because normally an Evet doesn't put on tefillin because he doesn't have mitzvah shas man gorma. So the fact that he puts it on freely in front of the Rav, which is something that normally a free man does, implies that he's a free man. Or he goes up to the Torah and he reads three psukim in the Torah. It doesn't prove anything, says the bright. What do you mean? The guy was obviously taught Torah. If he's reading... I thought you said that we don't teach him Torah. We don't let him get involved in Torah. So how can Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say otherwise? No, it just means that he did this on his own. Awesome. The Ikri Evid Midaito. He went up there and he read. So what? If Matilda can learn on her own how to read, why can't an Evid learn on his own how to read? So therefore, there's no problem. When we said that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says don't teach him, what it means is don't treat him like one of the family. That's the problem. So over there, you take him to school, you'll take him to school with his other kids and so on. That really is problematic because that shows that he's like a real child. That's what he was saying, because people will assume that he's actually a Ben Korin and they'll make him a Korin on his own. Then the Mishnah said, and I remember that they were matfilim in the mikvah, the truma. So we're saying over here that what, that he can mamish eat truma, but I thought you said midiraisa, we don't believe him. It was only because I'm newer rabbanan, but rabbanan. True, we're talking about truma de rabbanan. So the rabbanan accepted his edus as a child, what he saw as a child, benogeh, adin de rabbanan. We've already said that. Vishayachu leki manu alagoren, how does that prove anything? Maybe he's an Evet Kohen again. Aha! The Mishnah must be going, according to the Mandi Omar, who holds, we will not give truma to an Eved if the Odin isn't with him at the same time. And that way we won't make the mistake of thinking that the Eved is the Odin. And the Tanya, Ein chokin truma le'eved alim kin rabo imo divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Yocholu Shiomar. This, we're talking about the case where the kids got mixed up. It was the child of the Shifkar, her own child. And we don't know which one is the Evet and which one is the Odin. This is the Prince of the Pauper, an old story. And the question is that they both have to go, according to this, to the Beit HaGranot to get Truma, because there is a problem of people assuming that the one who got Truma is the Odin. So Rabbi Yossi says, well, I don't understand. Can't he say, what do you mean? You don't know if I'm the Kohen or if I'm the Evet. Who cares? Im Kohen ani. So then give it to me because I'm the Kohen. And if I'm an Evet Kohen, I also have to eat, don't I? So Tenuli Bishvil Rabbi, so give it for the master. What do you care who it is that I am? So our Mishnah is going on Libra Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the very fact that we're giving him out Truma on his own is a raya that he's not an Evet. And actually, what's the svar of the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Very simple. And the only issue over here is we don't want to give him truma because we were relying in that place. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. We always allow truma to be proof positive of a proper ichus to be a kohen, and therefore not eating truma, but chalukas truma. In Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't mean anything. So because of that, there wasn't anything wrong with what's going to come out bad. It's true, Rabbi Yossi says. It's true. Either he's an Evet or an Adon. Either way, he should be given up Kohen. truma because we're not going to be ma'ala lakuna on that basis. Actually, it's an interesting story that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi said, you know, my whole life I was very careful not to give testimony, which was nogea these issues of yuchsin and so on. And one time in my life I did, and oh my God, because I said that, they ended up making an evet kohen. Boy, oh boy, should have kept my mouth shut. What? They made an evet kohen based on Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. How could that be? I thought, Ashtem, Abehem Tam Shot Tzadikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Al Yadam, Tzadikim Atzman, look, Oshiken, remember the whole story of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the donkey wouldn't be eating Dmai, you know. So, how in the world would something like this happen to a Tzadik like Rav Elazar? It doesn't make sense. Now, you'll remember that Tosfos all over learns that Behem Tam Shot Tzadikim is only a din in Achila, that a tzaddik wouldn't eat something, because achila is considered to be a something that's metamtim, and it's a very low-class kind of thing. But what's wrong with over here, even if it involves achila, says Tosfos, that's not here, but Tosfos Gittin says, even if it involves achila, that's no reason to say that it would. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be shomer. So Tosfos actually takes out this part, this whole piece about Behem Tam Shot Tzadikim in this case. Anyway, they wanted to, in the end, thank heavens, they found out that he was an Eved. How did that happen, that Rabbi Elazar would make such a mistake? It's very simple. Rabbi Elazar saw this guy being given truma at the Beit HaGranot, and it was a Beit HaGranot under the jurisdiction of the Rav HaRoshi in that area, who was Rabbi Yossi.
Sipori.
And then he went ahead and he gave his avis in a place where he didn't realize that that place was Rabbi Yehuda was the Rav HaRosh. So then people assumed that the mice had been in Rabbi Yehuda's place. But in Rabbi Yehuda's place, if somebody is given, then it's a raya that he's a kohen. So they were about to make the evet a kohen until they found out that no, that was a whole mix-up. Furthermore, the child, he could say as a child, that this is a Beit HaPras. Why? Because since the whole din of Beit HaPras is only Drabbanan, and he's coming to be Mamai at the area of the Beit HaPras, so we believe him to say the Beit HaPras was only till here. Nobody was ever Zoyer in the other field. So a field was known to have a problem with Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras is a Sada, Shenecha Rashba Kever, but it's only 100 Amas square. So if you don't know where the original Kever was that was Necharaj, you don't know where that 100 Amas square is. So this kid is telling you this was the area, but over here people would walk. Because since it's only Drabbanan, I'll prove to you it's only Drabbanan. Because Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says that in a case where Kohen is in a rush to get to the Beis HaMikdash, he's got to bring his carbon. Not a Kohen, sorry, that's a different case. A person's in a rush to get to the Beis HaMikdash and he can't be Tameh, and he wants to bring a carbon Pesach. So it says over there, Menapeach Adam Beit HaPras V'Holeich. So as I told you, that's why they invented those leaf blower things to be used by people who need to get through a Beit HaPras. So you use a leaf blower, and that way you can see if there are any fragments of bones that would be metame in a kadasha. And Rav Yehuda bar Ami Mishmid, Rav Yehuda Amar, you don't even need a leaf blower if a lot of people have walked over this Beit HaPras. So then that basically has pressed in any fragments that would be metame. And you don't have to worry about them anymore. So if it was nidash, if it was trampled, and a lot of people walked here already, you're allowed to walk on it. Why? Because Ef Shela Etzik Kisara Shlo Nidash Beregel. There's no way that we have a full Saora that wasn't crushed. Very unlikely. So even, that's amazing. But we say on that, and Isser Diraisa, well, it's impossible. I mean, come on, it's not impossible. But that's the point. The whole thing is clearly only Drabbanan, right? So because of that, we rely on the thing that he saw as a katan to define the boundaries of the Beit HaPras. Furthermore, Adkan Hayinu Ba'im B'Shabbat. So how does he have a right to say where the Tchum is? Again, because we're going like the Shita, that Tchumim are Derabbanan, Kasava Tchumim Derabbanan, and since Tchumim are Derabbanan, it's Heminu Rabbanan, B'Rabbanan, as we said before. But he's not believed to say Derech Ayalaploni B'Mokom Hazer Mamadu Mispeid Ayalaploni, because that is financial. Why is that? Because Afukim Amonu L'Mafkinu. We're not going to use childhood to be able to be made in adulthood to be motzi mamon. Tana Rabbanan. There are other cases that will also, the Braisa brings, that we will believe childhood memories. So here's one of them. And that is that he can say, Tana Rabbanan, Ne'eman ha-tinok lomar, that the tinok is believed to say, Mishpacha zot Torah, kach amar li abba, my daddy told me, Mishpacha zot Torah, Mishpacha zot Tmeyah. Torah v'tmeyah, what kind of weird language is that? How can a family be tar or tame? What do you mean? I mean, obviously, Torah v'tmeyah is ridiculous. I mean, Mishpacha zot kshira, Mishpacha zot psula. My father said, now here too, we're not talking about that he's koveya. What happened over here was that there was a rumor that a particular family, and a mishpacha includes many batei avot, and this child says, it's not the whole family, it was this beit av, not this beit av. That's what we're talking about over here. So this beit av was kosher within this family, and this beit av was the one that they were talking about. And a child is also believed to say, whoa, I remember we ate the ketsatsa of so-and-so at so-and-so's wedding. What is the ketsatsa? We'll see. And I also remember that we used to bring challah, and we used to bring the matanes, the zro lecha yayin v'keva, to such and such a kohen. And that's talking about only where he says, I was the one that brought it. My dad used to tell me to bring the matanes. Because then he remembers actually going to the house, not that he's being made something that was exterior to him. No, it's ayideh atzmo, lo ayideh acher. In all of these cases, however, if he was a goy at the time, that is that guy katan, he was a goy at the time, and then he was nitgayer, or he was an eved, and he was in ishtachrer, over there, he is not believed. We're talking about only a child from when he was a child. And furthermore, ein neman lomar derech hayal ploni b'makom hazeh, mamadu mispeid hayal ploni b'makom hazeh, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, no, they are neman. Neman who? What are you talking about? Who is neman? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, what case is he referring to? What, on the last field? He's saying that you are allowed to say that this field belonged to so-and-so for hespedim? That's moman. Surely Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka isn't matir being mafik moman on the basis of childhood. Afuki Mamono? No, he wasn't referring to that case. He was referring to the first part that says, Kulam imhoi ovik yuchavin is gayer, eved v'shenish tachrer, eino neman, and comes along, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, even as a goy, he's neman. So what are we arguing on? So Tanakama holds the kivin, the ovik yuchavim hu, lo havid dayek, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, so I've given the dayek le gayure, midak have dayek. So the point over here is that if it's a child who is a Yisrael, so then, okay, then he understands the meaning of the attachment to his words, and what he is seeing as a child is real. And therefore, in these cases, he's believed about what he saw as a child. But if he was an Ovid Kochavim who was not planning on Giyur, then his whole mindset is to live in a chaotic world in which there is no specific realities. We've explained that's mamish, the whole difference between the Yisrael Chachamim Echukamim and the Olam of Tamim Tiyeh versus people that just sort of wander around in the world and are able to project what reality is based on what they want reality to be. So because of that, how else do you live as an Ovid Kochavim? So therefore, in that sense, even what he remembers is an experience of a different type of consciousness that just sort of ad hoc responds to what it thinks it's seeing. And therefore, to say that we'll believe that afterwards, why? That's the difference. Masha Enke and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka doesn't argue on that fact, but he holds that all along, if the guy was a goy, if it turns out that he becomes a ger, he is not a regular goy. He's basically got it in him to ultimately be misguided. And since that's the case, he is going to have a brain that works in the fashion that a Jewish child would work. You talked about a ketsatsa. I don't even know what a ketsatsa is. Well, you say, I remember the ketsatsa. What is that? My ketsatsa, the Tana Rabbanan, ketsat ketsatsa. How do we do this kitzatza? Well, the point of a kitzatza is this. So let's imagine a situation where someone in a family goes ahead and marries a woman who is asura. You'd say maybe she's a mamzeret, right? Or whatever. So he's a kohen, she marries a chalom, or whatever it is, it's inappropriate for the family. The family is very strongly disapproving of this marriage. They do not want to be part of the way people talk about, oh, that family, they allow the people to marry goyim, they allow the people to marry mamzeret. So what do? They come to the wedding. The family comes to the wedding, and they bring this barrel that's all full of yummy fruits and so on. And then they take it, put it down in the middle of the road and smash the barrel into pieces. And then they say, okay, everybody come take a fruit because we want you all to remember this. Achinu Ploni, Mr. So-and-so, who was our brother once upon a time, he took a woman, she'eno genetlo. We don't want him to have anything to do with our family. Mityarimanu shamita rev zaro bezareno. Bo kulachem dugmaladorot. We want every child here to remember when you grow up. Just know you had this delicious orange, which was there to sensually implant in you. Stay away from this bum. And that's the point. So therefore, bo kulachem shloyitarev zarobizarenu. This guy has got to be out of the pale. Zoe kitzatza, that's where the pale comes from for Barnea, is the chavis. Zoe kitzatza shatinokne manaha idalav. And that brings us to this very important moment of Hadran Alach Aisha Shinit Almala
Bli Neder.